Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. There's a lot, isn't there, in Scripture that can serve almost like a dagger into our heart, that we see how far short we fall of God's glory. What poor Catholics, what poor Christians we actually are. But God is so honored by our desire to change, our desire to improve, that he pours out grace upon us to help us. So it doesn't mean necessarily that your whole life is going to change this land. But if one area in your life moves in a new direction, you will have God more present in you, because he can. When we put aside sin and welcome him into our hearts in a particular area, then our whole life, in a certain sense, becomes more illuminated. Our faith grows. Our hope grows. Our love grows. It really, honestly does. This is not just an image. It's not just a pious reflection. It's a spiritual reality. And the spiritual realities are far more important than the physical realities, important though they be. What God is doing in your soul and what you're responding in your soul is infinitely more important to God. So let's take a look at the readings for today in that light. Don't get discouraged about your own life. Just listen to the word of the Lord. Let's see what God says to us today. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. The deeper we're rooted in Christ, brothers and sisters, the more we can walk through some of the most difficult circumstances of our lives, the more we're rooted in him, even if it's terribly heavy cross that we're carrying. Let your roots go down deeper in Christ. Sometimes we pull ourselves in and we kind of shrivel up. We're trying to protect ourselves from the pain. Let your roots go down more deeply into Christ, more deeply into his word, more deeply into the sacraments. And you will find that when the crisis, whatever it is, passes, you're going to be stronger than you were before. Even though right now you feel terribly weak, you will be much stronger in the end. And most of all, have a much deeper relationship with the God who created you and who saved you and who loves you and who waits to welcome you home when that time comes. More torturous than all else is the human heart, beyond remedy, who can understand it. I, the Lord, alone probe the mind and test the heart, to reward everyone according to his ways, according to the merit of his deeds. And a lot of the merit of our deeds doesn't just depend on the external action. It depends on the motive for which we do them. Let's not be a Pharisee. Let's not be a hypocrite. Psalm 1, blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Put all your trust in him, because he's going to give you what you need if you ask him, if you seek him, if you wait upon him. Oh, well, I asked God, nothing happened, so I decided to do this or that. No. You ask God something, I mean, you act. If you have to act, if you have to make a decision on something, you do it to the best of your ability. At the same time, you're asking the Lord, help me, guide me. Speak to me. Show me the way. And he will. Sometimes it's through another person. Sometimes it's through a set of circumstances. Often it's through a passage in Scripture that you read. And make sure you're reading Scripture every day. This is the life-giving word. Don't put yourself on a starvation diet with the word of God. most Catholics do. That's why we're in some of the trouble we're in. That's why we're in trouble individually. We're not feeding on the Word and the Eucharist in the way in which God needs us to. And especially when we're going through difficult times, we need to be fortified, just as we need to be physically, we need to be spiritually. I, the Lord, alone probe the mind and test the heart to reward everyone according to his ways, according to the merit of his deeds. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. It's the Psalm number one. That's what it begins with. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Do you put your hope there, your trust there? Where is your hope? Is it in your bank account? Is it in a human relationship? Is it in your job? Where do you put your hope? Is it in the Lord? Bless the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates, notice that, meditates on his law, his word, day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. You don't want to pour yourself out in something that's going to vanish. You don't want to vanish. Put your roots down in the Lord, in his word, in the sacraments. That's where your roots need to be, because that's the stream of running water. The gospel today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen. He dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door," now his door, that is, this is where he goes in and goes out. "And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table." Let me just pause here for a moment. Just say, I'm very touched by this, because there are so many, there are all kinds of people, but I think most of the children who hope that a scrap will fall from the table. Mother Teresa told me what that was like in India. Are we part of the rich man? We dine sumptuously. At least we have three good meals if we want them. What are we doing? What are you giving away? Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. And when the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. Glory, majesty, splendor, happiness forever. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus." He's still looking to this guy to serve him. He didn't get it. "Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." I mean, in other words, get me out of here. And Abraham replied, "My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours." Once we've died, brothers and sisters, and we stand before God, whatever the record is, it stands. He said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, For I have five brothers. Well, he continues to want him to serve. For I have five brothers so that he may warn them lest they too come to this place of torment. So at least he's gotten a little perspective beyond himself and his own flesh and his own wants. But Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And he said, oh, no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And Abraham said, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Jesus came to us. Jesus showed us the way, pointed out the way, performed many miracles to help us on the way, taught us, guide us, and we killed him. Think about that. Do you go on killing the Lord, in a sense, in your soul by sin? Yes, it takes time for habits and patterns of sin to change, and God understands that, and God's mercy is with us. But are you on the pathway? Are you on the road to saying, I am giving up this sin, no matter how much it's been part of my life. Lord, I want you more than I want the temporary satisfaction, whatever that might be, from that sin. I want you. I choose you. That's what puts you on the path to salvation. Think about this. Think seriously about this, brothers and sisters. There is a priest. His name is Father Donald Haggerty, and Father has written a couple little books, just his own reflections. One is entitled Contemplative Hunger. And he says something very interesting here about the poor that I want to pass on to you. He says this, for some people, the encounter with the poor serves as a prelude to the contemplative life. I don't mean it being in a contemplative order, but your prayer life grows much more deeply. The need not be so, but often it seems the case. We are likely to find that genuine contemplatives, even those now in cloisters or monasteries, have sought real contact with the poorest of the poor at some stage in their spiritual life. The reason is not so surprising. The mysterious presence of the Lord in the poor man draws the beginnings of a hunger in a soul that is not realized at first, but soon becomes evident. It is an initial encounter with God, as the Eucharist itself is, with the sacred mystery of God's personal presence. What he's saying here is so very, very important, that in our care for the poor, reaching out beyond us, meeting the needs of those around us, like the gospel today, here's this poor guy who was suffering so much, sitting on his doorstep, and he ignored him day after day after day, year after year. Brothers and sisters, sometimes in the disguise of the very poor, the Lord is very present because they have nothing. And because they have nothing, they're more open to trusting God. Many times among the poor, you can find him. Please go looking for him. He loves you. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.